Thank you very much. Blessed good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning. And those of you who are in the SM Cinemas, good morning. Blessings to you as well. I send you your greetings. Greetings from CCF Alabang. It's been a long time since I've been here and I miss you. I'm so glad that I'm here. This morning, the title of my message is God's Love in Brokenness. God's Love in Brokenness. As we go through this series about God's love, believe it or not, He loves us in times of brokenness. How many of you remember the children's nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Y'all remember that? Yes. Let's say it together. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Over the past few months, I've sat down and counseled couples and individuals who've had brokenness in their life, tragic experiences where today, because of family matters, because of financial issues, because of disagreements and conflict, because of circumstances that are beyond their control, they are broken. I know that today many of you here are deeply in pain over your brokenness, over circumstances in your lives. Many times the reason is because of a personal sin in your life. Other times, it's because of a sinful attitude of another person involved in your life. And there are other times that it's because of circumstances beyond your control. Circumstances that have just overwhelmed you. Just like that nursery rhyme of Humpty Dumpty and his great fall. Many Christians today are falling away. And so in that regard, I would like to share with you. I would like to help you in your pain. I would like to help you in your hurt. Now, I cannot restore your broken life. But our God can. He can restore broken people. As a matter of fact, it's one of His specialties. Before we take note of that, you know, I saw some business signs of different establishments that advertise and promote their business. And they use very, very catchy slogans. I want to show you a few of them, okay? Here's an optometrist shop. And look what it says. If you don't see what you're looking for, you've come to the right place. In a podiatrist's office, it says, time wounds all heals. In a butcher shop, Dave's butcher shop says, let me meet your needs. How about this one? On the side of a muffler shop, no appointment necessary. We'll hear you coming. Beside a garbage truck, this is their slogan. We've got what it takes to take what you've got. Now, if God had an office, if God had a shop, this is probably what it would say. It would say, I can't fix it until it is broken. I can't fix it until it is broken. I heard this story about this monastery that was located on the high cliffs up in a mountain of Greece. It was on the side of a cliff, several hundred feet above the ground. Now, the only way you can reach that monastery is if you were to suspend yourself inside a basket that was pulled up by a rope by several monks on the very top. Now, think about this, huh? Here they are, they're pulling and tugging with all their strength, and you're inside that basket suspended. It must be a terrifying trip going up the side of a cliff inside a basket, hung on a rope. One tourist got exceedingly nervous when about halfway up, he noticed that the rope which was pulling the basket that he was in was old and frayed. And he nervously asked the monk who was riding the basket with him, he said, when do they change the rope? And the monk serenely answered, whenever it breaks. Now you might be shocked. Why would they change it when it breaks? Why not change it way before it reaches the breaking point? But it dawned on me that God operates in the same way of our lives. If we were to ask God, God, when will you change my life? His answer will most likely be, when it is broken. You see, friends, our lives cannot change until we have what the Bible refers to as a broken spirit. Many times today we're going about life adamant, arrogant, and determined to do things our way. And because of that, God cannot come into our life to change us, to shape us, and to mold us. Let me show you a passage in the Bible. Psalm 34, verse 18. Let's read this together. The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. He rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins. This morning, friends, I want all of you here to come away understanding what brokenness is. To realize that brokenness does not have to be the final outcome of your life. I want us to understand God's love in brokenness. And in doing so, I'll take you through 4 points. The first one is the reality of brokenness. The second is the reason for brokenness. The third is the remedy for brokenness. And the fourth is the result of brokenness. Let's take the very first one, the reality of brokenness. Throughout the Bible, there have been men and women who've been broken. But none other than David himself was broken. And he expresses his heart in the book of Psalms. Psalm 51, to be exact, verse 12. This is David as he confesses his brokenness. He says, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Here was David confronted by the prophet Nathan after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he was broken, broken in his heart. Another man, a holy man by the name of Job, a man who God tested his faith, took away his family, took away his business, put him full of sores that his health was in jeopardy. This was Job, what Job said in chapter 17, verse 1. He says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. A broken man. And then there's the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, who often cried in misery. This is what he said in Jeremiah 23, verse 9. He said, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble because of his holy words. Friends, have you been broken? Have you experienced brokenness? Let me tell you, in my life, I was working in a company for 15 years. 11 of those 15 years, I was a Christian. I was the vice president of this company, and I loved working. I felt I had everything I needed. I had security for my family to provide for their future. I had satisfaction that I could buy whatever I want, whatever I need to enjoy life. I had service in the fact that I could serve God through ministries. I had everything I wanted. I was on top of the world. I felt, what more do I need? But little did I know that God had other plans for my life. The president and owner of the company decided to retire and sell the entire company to another company. This other company came in and they sat me down and they said, Mr. Soriano, would you like to be the president of this company? Wow, I was shocked when they said that. They said, we want you to fulfill all your dreams, all your goals. Do whatever you want to make this company the best in the industry. I was overjoyed. I felt this was more than I ever imagined and dreamed of in my life. And so right away, they sent in a whole team of managers. And I sat down with all these managers and I passed on to them all the information. Strategic planning, how to increase the profits, increase the service, how to get out the competition, how to do everything we can to make this company what I always dreamed it could be. After a whole month of passing on this information, I get a letter from the owner of the company. And he says, Dear Mr. Soriano, we wish to inform you that at the close of the business hours today, your services are no longer needed. In other words, I was fired. When I read that letter, I thought it was a joke. I said, nah, they're kidding. They can't do this to me. But I verified it, and it was true. They were getting rid of me. After I spent one whole month passing all the information and strategies and plans to these new managers, they were easing me out. I called my wife, Cindy, on the phone. I said, Cindy, sit down. Listen to this. I'm coming home. I'm out of a job. I went home that day, and we just wept and cried. It was like my whole life just crushed and crumbled upon me. It was like a typhoon, like a hurricane, like a tsunami, all happening at once. I couldn't believe it. The following morning, I woke up and I didn't get dressed. I had nowhere to go. Let me tell you, during those times, I remember I had three strong emotions that overtook me. The very first emotion was the emotion of hopelessness. You know what I mean? I felt hopeless. I mean, what about the security and provision for my family in the future? All that just crumbled. I lost control of that situation, and I was hopeless. The second emotion was anger. I was mad. Deep down inside, I wanted to revenge. I mean, why would these corporate vultures betray me? Why would they do this to me? I wanted to get even with them. And because of that, bitterness started to settle in my heart. The third emotion was a sense of abandonment. I felt like Job in his sores, or Jesus on the cross. I felt, Lord, why have you forsaken me? I demanded of God, I said, God, what are you doing? Don't you know I love you and I serve you and I do everything I can to obey you? And Lord, why do you allow this to happen to my life? I was so frustrated. You know, these emotions took over me to the point that I was in desperation. I felt defeated in life. But I realized that when you go through a breaking process, these three emotions are the strongest in your life. And God allows these to happen in order to grow us as His people. Has this ever happened to you? Have you experienced this brokenness? I sat and I thought, Lord, what are you doing to me? What are you teaching me, Father? Where do I go from here? What do I do next? It was a point of desperation. If I were to ask you, what is brokenness in Tagalog? What would you say? Brokenness is what? Brokenness is basag. Huh? Oh, it's brokenness. Brokenness. Is there a word? Sira. Not sira ulo. Huh? But it's hard. You can't find a word for brokenness. But generally speaking, if something is broken, it is useless unless it can be fixed. Right? Take, for example, a stallion, a big bucking bronco. That horse is useless until it is broke. Right? Or for example, if you ever experienced a broken arm or leg, do you know how debilitating that is? You know, to go around with a broken arm or leg? For someone who is in financial bankruptcy, who's hit rock bottom, they're said to be broke, right? Broke. Now, a person whose romantic hopes and dreams have all been shattered, that person is heart broken. Yes, very good. Yeah. Now, what exactly is brokenness in the Bible? What is brokenness in the Bible? To us, we might think in terms of something being cracked, something being chipped, something being broken in two, right? But you know, in the Bible, the Hebrew root word for brokenness is so much stronger. It's so much stronger. Literally, it means to beat into pieces, to crush into powder, to totally destroy so that it's almost unrecognizable. To the point that when you see the final product, you don't even know what it was to start with. Let me give you an illustration, okay? Who has an egg? Does anyone have an egg? Oh, there happens to be an egg right here. Wow, CCF is so good. This egg, for example, if we were to say this egg is broken, you would think, okay, I crack it, I break it in two, I you know, cut it, I chip it. But no, this is what the Bible means when it talks about brokenness. It's taking the egg and like, that's what it is. It's breaking it and then crushing it and squishing it really hard so it pulverizes, you know? At this point, a white dove will fly out. No, no, no. But you know, so here you are, you're crushing it, you're breaking it. That's what brokenness is. To the point that it's so crushed that you don't even know what it was before. I took out the inside so I won't make a mess. Is that okay? Okay. That's what brokenness is. It's crushing it, pulverizing it to the point that you don't know what it is anymore. Now let me tell you, listen. There is a big difference between broken and a broken spirit. The difference is being broken is when you're attacked by adversity, trials, tribulations, hardships. That's what it is to be broken. On the other hand, a broken spirit is the response that you and I have towards being broken. Many people today are broken, but they don't necessarily mean that they have a broken spirit. Are you with me? Let me give you a definition of spiritual brokenness. Let's read this together. Spiritual brokenness is a condition of the heart where we are mentally and emotionally what? Emptied of self. It is the breaking or crushing of our self-will. It's the breaking or crushing of our self-will. When we surrender our entire being to God, that's when we are broken. When we do that in humility, that's when we are spiritually broken. That's, friends, that's the time that you see God in His majesty and you see yourself as nothing apart from Him. That's what it means to be spiritually broken. That's when you recognize what sin really is. Self on the throne or self in control. For many people, it takes a shattered marriage for them to wake up to brokenness. For others, it's the loss or the grief in the death of a loved one. For others, it's maybe depression, desperation from drug addiction or alcohol abuse. For others, it's failure in ministry that awakens them to brokenness. Or it could be financial ruin or an emotional collapse due to the remembrance of the past, pains, abuse, violence in your life. For some people, it's the discovering that they have cancer or an illness in their own life or in the life of a loved one. Those are all events that God uses to trigger a season of brokenness. And God uses these events to break our will, to change us, to mold us, to reshape us into the image of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Remember, you have to say, with you. Okay, are you with me? Okay. Brokenness. Let me ask you, it is not the reality of brokenness that's important. It's the response, isn't it? It's not the reality of brokenness. It's our response to the brokenness that's important. I'd like to ask you a few questions and just answer them in your own heart. Look at your own heart and life, and between you and God, answer these questions. The first question is, what is it that God is stripping away from your life? What is it that God is stripping away from your life? What is it that you have put between you and total surrender to God? What is it that you put between you and total surrender to God? What is it that you trust more than you trust God? What is it that you trust more than you trust God? And last question is, what do you love more than you love God? What do you love more than you love God? Friends, every one of us here knows exactly what God wants to remove from our lives. We need to stop and we need to search our hearts and come to understand what that is. And you need to do that. You need to ask yourself, what am I scared of losing in my life? What am I not willing to give up? What am I not willing to live without? Think of those questions, friends. Let me just tell you, you cannot choose how you'll be broken. You cannot choose how you will be broken. God may choose to use someone in your life, someone who you don't like, to come into your life. He might send you to a place that you never want to go to, and that will break you. God might send you and put you in a circumstance where you've said, I'll never submit to this circumstance, and yet God puts you there. Or He might put you into conditions that are overwhelming and beyond your control. What I want to do now is share with you a 7-minute video of a young man who was born almost broken from day one. And I want you to be inspired and encouraged to see how God took this man and brought him to where he is today, glorifying God in his life. Let's roll the video.
Blessing to be here with you this morning. And it's going to be fun this morning, but I believe that God's going to touch your heart as well. I love the attention, so I'm going to start off with kicking some tennis balls around in church. How does that sound? Yeah? I learned how to kick some tennis balls. I love playing soccer. Ready? Catch! Catch! Oh! Don't throw it back because I can't catch. Yes, I was born without arms and legs, and My parents were dedicated Christians all their lives, and then I came along and sort of it really tested their faith. But the greatest concern was, if God loved my parents, why would he let something that bad happen to them? Why? Well, let me tell you that the last two words on my parents' minds was, praise God, when I was born. Do you know how mothers, they want to hold their firstborn? Like, they're anxious. Oh, I want to hold him or her. Well, when I was put next to my mother's side, guess what she said? Take him away. It was such a tragedy. Can a pure joy. Today, I'm going to share with you the promises of God and the reasons why I can stand up here smiling and have the joy of the Lord. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, that is a good promise. But why aren't we then always 24/7? Because our hope and our future sort of depends on the happenings of right now. Well, I'm going to share a promise with you just in a second. But because I really love the attention, I want to show you. I want to show off just a little bit more. Okay, at school, I learned how to write with my foot. This is an ordinary pen with a plastic holder around my foot. Love to write, love to draw, all that sort of stuff. I learned to type on the computer with my heel and toe, about 43 words a minute. But it's pretty cool. All right, now this is the tricky part, okay? I need a stand for a ringing phone. Oh, thank you. Good morning. Now, just to warn you, it might not happen at the first time, but what happens when we fail? Let's start it again. What happens when we fail? Excellent. Here we go. Concentrate, focus. Hey, is that cool? It just got hard sometimes. I really wanted to end my life at the age of 10. But it was really confusing because God loves me, right? And he created me in his image. But if he had full control over my birth, I realized, man, why would he make me like this? And I got so angry. I said, God, prove to me that you are real. Prove to me that you made me and that you love me. Why? Why me? And guess what? God didn't answer me. For ages and ages. Don't you hate it when God doesn't answer you? So let's go back to that promise. What happens when you're asking for something and you don't get it, or you're seeking God and you're not finding? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now, why wouldn't he want me to find him now? Well, you know, life has its ups and downs. And it's in those downtimes where you really realize that, hey, you need God. And there is a reason why he's not answering you yet. I want to tell you this morning that there's no such thing as luck, chance, or coincidence that you are here this morning, that you have the struggles and the worries and the cares and the anxious feelings that you have this morning. That is all God ordained, believe it or not. Romans 8:28, for all things come together for the best for those who love him. Do you know what that means? That means God is not going to let anything happen to you unless he has a good purpose for it. Then you could look at me and you say, well, what possibly good could come out of this? Oh, buckle up. I'm holding on with two hands. I mean, people come up to me and say, Nick, where do you get your strength from? The joy of the Lord is my strength. But I pray that he opens your eyes and you'd see his beautiful face and his beautiful, just beautiful smile. And he extends his right hand to you. And in his gentle fingers, he holds a rose. And he says to you, will you be my first love? Will you trust me when you don't understand, when you need comfort, when you feel all alone? Spend some time with God because he is crazy about you. He is so crazy about you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you and me. This man called Russell, elderly, awesome man comes up to me and he says, Nick, I've got a thought for you. And it's from God. I said, okay. He says, Nick, remember your ministry. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see that his right arm is nailed to the cross. Nick, you don't have a right arm to be nailed to the cross. You look to his left arm and his left arm is nailed to the cross. You don't have a left arm to be nailed to the cross. Then you look down to his fully extended legs and you see that they're nailed to the cross. You don't have any legs to be nailed to the cross, Nick. The way that God made you, you cannot be put up and limited by being on the cross. Jesus is on the cross for you. You are the unlimited part of Christ's body that's going to go out and spread the gospel like no one's ever dreamed of before.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought.
Friends, shame on us when we complain. Shame on us when we grumble. The next time you get a drink of water, you think about what God has done for your life, that you don't have to push it down with your head. Think and remember about all the blessings that God has given you, despite the trials and adversities that you're going through in life today. We've looked at the reality of brokenness and the reason of brokenness is what we'll take up right now. The reason of brokenness. Friends, God is not cruel. He will not allow things to happen in your life without a reason. All the pain that you experience is for a purpose. Remember that. All your pain is for a purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, let's read that together. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good. If we love God and are fitting into His plans. Do you love God? Do you love God? Are you fitting into His plans? Because if you are, He will give you what is best. He wants what's best for your life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. I love this passage. It says, these troubles and sufferings of ours are after all quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. God wants what's best for your life. That's the reason for brokenness. He wants you and He wants to take you and do something great in and through your life. I've discovered that brokenness is the way for God to get our attention. Just like Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He had to go through a period of brokenness. And maybe like you here today, you are here today because God is speaking to your heart. Because He wants you to give your heart to Him in salvation. I've discovered also that God uses brokenness in the lives of Christians. Men and women who already know Him, for them to give up whatever it is that's preventing them from fully experiencing God to the most ultimate. Someone once said, before God can use a man greatly, he must what? Wound him deeply. Oswald Chambers was right when he said this. If we are ever going to be made into wine, we will have to be crushed. You cannot drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they have been squeezed. Friends, God uses brokenness to deepen our understanding of ourselves. He uses brokenness to deepen your understanding of who He is. He uses the brokenness to deepen your understanding and compassion for others who are suffering. Brokenness is a sign of God's love. It is a sign of His activity in your life. You see, friends, God wants to get rid of all our greed, our jealousy, our envy, our anger, our lust, our self-centeredness, our self-reliance. He wants to get rid of all of that and replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, and the fruit of the Spirit, will you allow God to change your life even if you don't see the end result? He knows the best that you can be. And if you were to ask Him, He would say it's for you to become like His Son, Jesus Christ, to be molded and shaped in the image and likeness of Jesus. That's what He wants you to be. After months and months of going through that period of brokenness in my life, those emotions of hopelessness, of anger, of abandonment, I realized deep in my heart that I was always holding back something. Something that I treasured and I would not let go of. And that was my career. I tell you, because of my career, I found self-worth. I found self-esteem, self-sufficiency. Subliminally, I was telling God, Lord, I will serve You. I will do whatever You want. But Lord, don't take away my career. I like that career because my career gave me the ability to buy whatever I want, to do whatever I want without having to rely on God. And because of my career, I was self-centered. I was selfish, self-absorbed. I was full of pride. And God was saying to me, Joby, I want you to love Me more than you love your career. I want you to trust Me more than you trust money. I want you, Lord, Joby, to serve Me more than you do without any conditions or without any motives. I realized that God wanted to use me more than I was willing to be used. God wanted to break me of all myself, all that selfishness in my life. He wanted to remove that. They say you cannot fix it until it is broken. You cannot fix something until it is broken. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4, look what it says. Let's read this together, everyone. And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. There is a songwriter who expressed this passage and expressed the right attitude that we should have in the times when we are going through the period of breaking. He said this. He said, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still. You see, the potter is able to mend a broken vessel and use it for his own purpose and pleasure. We've looked at the reality of brokenness, the reason for brokenness, and now the remedy. What's the remedy for brokenness? King David, he tells us in Psalm 51. Look what he says. He says, the sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit. God, You will not reject a heart that is broken and sorry for sin. In other translations, this same verse is written, a broken and contrite heart, Lord, You will not despise. You will not despise. You see, David knew that God did not want the rituals of sacrifice. What God wanted was David's heart. He wanted his crushed heart. He wanted David to give Him his will, His being, his heart, everything about Him. And that's the same thing God wants of us. He wants your heart. He wants your mind, your body, your will. He wants all of that for Him. Friends, I'd like to ask a young lady to come forward and to share her testimony. Please, Bing Pizarro, please welcome her.
Good morning. My name is Bing Pizarro, and I am 15 years old. I had always been aware of my parents' marital problems, so it came as no surprise to me when my dad finally left by the time I was 13, and I honestly could not have cared less. Although on the outside, I seemed like the kind of daughter every parent wants to have, I never mingled with the wrong crowd and always got the best grades in school. In reality, I was proud, ungrateful, and completely indifferent to my family. What my parents and the rest of my family did with their lives never mattered to me as long as my needs were provided for. I thought my life was going as planned until in February 2004, God decided it was time to make me aware of His plan for me. My parents had been separated for a few months then, but after attending a CCF couples retreat, my dad moved back in. Life at home was suddenly full of love and laughter, but I remained distant and detached. One day, my mom eagerly came up to me and started talking about how Jesus died for my sins so I could go to heaven. I didn't think much of it at the time because I had heard all that before in religion class, although it was the first time the role of Jesus ever made sense to me. However, I simply ignored it because I didn't want to admit that all my life I had misunderstood the very core of Christianity. I then started going with them to worship services, carefully comparing the teachings to the doctrine I was taught in school. Although my main motive was to find errors, God's word pierced my heart little by little, convincing me that it was truth that my parents had embraced, and that it was I who was lost. Even though I thought I was on the right track, in reality, I was no better off than a blind man groping in the dark. In my heart, I began searching for meaning and for light. Then I found out that my former secret boyfriend, whom I was still very much emotionally attached to at the time, had found someone else. And to make things worse, I felt like no one was really there for me. But I thought, maybe God would be. It was then that I asked my dad for a Bible. On November 5, 2004, exactly 2 years ago, I read the Word of God for the very first time and learned to focus on Him instead of on myself. It was also then that I finally stopped resisting and accepted the gift of eternal life that God was offering me. And I have found that He is more than enough. I committed myself to the Lord and began to grow in His love. I knew I was a Christian, but I was afraid to declare it because I wanted to become valedictorian very badly, and being a Christian in a sectarian school could be very damaging to my academic standing. In June 2005, at the start of my junior year in high school, God led me to a choice. The school gave out annual personal data sheets with a blank labeled religion. What I wrote there could make or break my chances of achieving one of my greatest goals. But Jesus says in Matthew 10:32-33, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." I decided to take that step of faith. I wrote "Bible-believing Christian" in all caps, ready to lose that one thing I had wanted all my life. All I know is that I love Jesus more, and I will take up my cross and follow Him, even as He leads me to my own crucifixion. I am currently in the middle of my senior year in high school, and it has proven to be the most turbulent time yet in my Christian life. Before enrollment, we were made to sign a waiver declaring that we will be dealt with accordingly should we show grave disrespect to the religious doctrine and traditions of the school. When the school year began, modifications were made on the grading system, increasing the value of religious participation and community involvement to 30% of the grade in religion class. But my zeal for the Lord was not dampened. God has been faithful, keeping me number one in class thus far. He has also allowed me to start holding Bible studies at home every Saturday with a group of classmates and friends who are also discovering the wonders of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And last month, the school found out about it. Our religion teacher confronted the class, telling my classmates that attendance to the Bible studies was a betrayal of their religion because it could lead to conversion. While we, in tears, tried to explain our side, he casually warned us of the consequences, which would be bad for us as graduating students. That very emotional discussion eventually led to my sharing the gospel right there in the presence of my teacher. The issue was soon brought to the attention of the higher authorities in school. Just last Tuesday, my parents and I were summoned to a meeting with a religious administrator in school. He stated that during the said incident, I showed grave disrespect and insubordination to my teacher and therefore should merit the full sanction for a major offense, which is suspension for 3 days, a conduct grade of 70%, and automatic disqualification from the honor roll. Their official decision on the matter will be released in 2 weeks. The Bible study issue, on the other hand, he said would be addressed later and may include charges of proselytizing against me. But God's sovereignty continues to shine through. In a school retreat that we had last week, at least 30 of my classmates approached me and showed me what an almighty God can do through a wretched sinner like me. They said that the best thing they will remember about me is my great passion for the Lord, and that regardless of religion, they have been inspired to pursue Him in their own lives as well. John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." I am privileged to be in the front lines of the battle, and I rejoice because I know that Jesus has already won. After all, what is one gold medal compared to the many, many lives that God continues to touch and change through the trials that I face? My Lord Jesus Christ, the God who asked me to jump off the cliff, is the very same God who has taught me how to fly, and to Him alone be all the glory.
That's pure faith. Walking with God. Choosing to let go whatever it is that's valuable. Knowing that God will give you back a treasure worth so much more. Thank you, Bing. Thank you very much. Friends, there's a quotation that says, "The inward part of a man is said to be broken and crushed when his sinful nature is broken, his ungodly self slain, his impenetrable hardness softened, his haughty vain glorying of pride brought low. In fact, when he becomes nothing in himself, that's when God is everything to him. That's when he is broken." Oswald Chambers had this to say. He said, "When God gets us alone through suffering, heartbreak, trials, disappointment, sickness, or by thwarted desires, or a broken friendship, when He gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then He begins to teach us." What is the remedy for brokenness? Let's look to the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 10. It says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Brokenness is surrendering our entire will, heart, mind, and body to Christ in humility. In my life, when I finally surrendered all those emotions of hate, anger, disappointment against those corporate vultures who betrayed me, when I finally said, Lord, I'm sorry, and I forgive them all of a sudden a burden was lifted from my life. And then I went to God and I said, Lord, please forgive me for my pride, for my self-centeredness, for holding on to my career and not to you. Forgive me for not trusting you with all my life. God gave me peace. It was at that point that I realized that God, it is more important to know who I am in Christ and not what I've achieved on my own. When I repented for my sinful attitude of pride and blaming God, God showed me how much He loves me and how much He sacrificed His life for me. Friends, listen carefully. There are many people on this earth today who are walking around as the walking wounded because they have not given up their brokenness to God. They're all around the place. They're in offices, they're in schools, they're in homes, they're even in churches. Perhaps the most common walking wounded is a person who is filled with bitterness. Bitterness and anger in their hearts. They have an underground river of anger that is running through, ready to explode. There are some who are afflicted with agonizing pain over what a parent did to them in the past, what their spouse has done to them today, what a good friend or a boss is doing to them. There are others who blame God directly for all the pain that they're experiencing in life today. Broken dreams, lack of fulfillment. Friends, the walking wounded have a tainted view of the future because they've never dealt with the pain of the present and the past. As they avoid spiritual breaking consistently, they grow older, but they don't mature in their faith. They don't mature in their faith. I've seen many leaders today who have suffered so much, but have still refused to surrender. They've still refused to have a broken spirit before God. And they're walking around with frustration and pride in their life. They are the walking wounded. Are you that person today who's walking around with bitterness and anger, frustration, pride? Friends, can I tell you, you are the only one. You are the only one who can surrender to brokenness. No one can surrender for you. You have to make that choice. You have to accept the responsibility and surrender to brokenness. Now, being broken, remember, does not mean weakness. It does not mean weakness. It means that you're allowing yourself to be pliable, to be molded and shaped by God Himself. Are you with me? We've looked at the reality of brokenness, the reason for brokenness, the remedy for brokenness, and now let's look at the result of brokenness. The result. The result is that blessings result from brokenness. Blessings result from brokenness. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Blessings and brokenness, those are two words that are opposite to each other. They contradict one another. You can't put them in the same sentence. How can it be blessed? How can I be blessed if I'm broken? But friends, you know, when you are broken, you realize that you have no strength in and of yourself. And that the reality is that all the strength that you need is from God. There are a lot of great men and women in the Bible who were broken by God only because He wanted to use them for greatness. Let me give you a few examples. Abraham. Before Abraham became the father of many nations, he and Sarah were childless. Before Jacob could be blessed, he was wounded by an angel in a wrestling match. Before Joseph ruled Egypt, he was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and falsely imprisoned. Before Job's estate was doubled, he lost everything. Everything he had, including his family, his fortune, and his future. Before Moses became the great deliverer, he lost his position, his possessions, and his popularity. Before Joshua conquered the promised land, he went through the wilderness. Before David became king, he was renounced by his family, ridiculed by his foes, and rejected by his friends. Before Peter preached 3,000 souls into the kingdom, he denied his Savior 3 times and went out and wept bitterly. Before Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, he was blinded on the Damascus Road. And the list can go on of how God needed to break a lot of men and women before they could be used mightily for his kingdom. When God started to restore me again, after coming to him in forgiveness and repentance of my sins, a few weeks and months after, he started to restore me again. God gave me an idea because I was jobless. I didn't know what to do. He gave me an idea to set up a business. And I pursued that idea and I prospered tremendously. You won't believe it. It's so amazing. I was earning the same income from that business as I was earning in that other company for 15 years. Not only that, I only had to work 2 days a week in that new business. It was amazing. I spent so much time with my family, spent a lot of time with my ministry and friends. God is amazing. And I knew that God was preparing me for something greater. 3 years after, I knew in my heart that God had called me to full-time service in CCF. And I took that challenge. And let me tell you, the fulfillment of seeing lives transformed because of the power of God's Word is far greater. There was so much far greater joy in that than in making money for me. There's nothing that compares to the blessing of serving God in His strength. Say it with me. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Jesus Christ, can. Amen? He certainly can. Friends, our God is able to mend broken hearts. He's able to restore broken hopes. He's able to put back together broken homes. He's able to put back together broken happiness. And that's what our God does. He mends broken people. Friends, as we close this morning, I'd like to ask a few questions of you personally. These are questions to apply this message in your life. Because if you leave here just saying that was a good message, but don't apply it in your personal life, we've wasted our time. And so it's always important to check our attitude, to check our lives, to see where do we stand? Where do I stand today based on God's love in brokenness? 4 questions, and I want you to answer them sincerely between you and God. Just you and God, yes or no. But before that, there's a verse that I want you to read. It's in Psalm 147, verse 3. Look what it says. It says, He, meaning God, heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. If today you're full of wounds and brokenness, God can heal you and bind you up. Okay, 4 questions. The very first question I want you to ask yourself is, am I willing to let go of my dreams and ambitions if it is God's will? Am I willing to let go of my dreams and ambitions if it is God's will? 2nd question, am I willing to listen and examine myself when corrected or criticized? Am I willing to examine myself when corrected or criticized? Yes or no, remember. 3, am I forgiving when offended by others with or without an apology? Am I forgiving when offended by others with or without an apology? And the last question, am I daily saying, God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to submit to you. God, whatever it takes, I'm willing to submit to you. Friends, if you cannot say yes to every one of those questions, then that just might be a sign for you to need to voluntarily surrender whatever it is that you're holding back from God. Save yourself the pain of the future by giving it up today. Friends, God is able to mend broken hearts, broken hopes, broken dreams, broken happiness. If today you feel shattered, if you feel that you're suffering, if life's pressures are so heavy upon you, if you feel that your life is nothing but broken pieces, that just means that God wants to take you to a better place. Would you be willing to give your life to Jesus Christ and allow Him to mold you and shape you to be a useful vessel? Would you be willing to surrender your heart and your will to Christ and make your life count for something wonderful? He will take all your broken pieces and He will make a new creation out of you. Friends, God's love brings brokenness, blessings in brokenness. Let's stand up and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning saying thank You, Lord God, knowing that brokenness is not final in our life. Lord, You know the people who are out here today listening to this right here in this hall or in the SM theaters or even on the video or internet. Father, You know who they are and You know that they're hurting and that they're being broken. Father, would You gently break their spirit in order for You to restore them, to mold them into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ? I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that You would restore their relationships, restore their finances, restore their health, restore their lives to what You want it to be. Use them mightily, Lord God, for Your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, that we would surrender to You in humility. Surrender to You whatever it is that's holding back, whatever is preventing us from experiencing You fully in our lives. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And now, Father, we pray for the individuals here who have heard this message and today want to surrender their lives to You, that they've been living it their way all this time and today they wish to give their lives to You. Father, would You take them and gently restore them as they repent of their sins, as they embrace Jesus Christ and His sacrifice that pays the penalty for their sins. Lord, would You change their lives into what You want it to be? Father God, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for the gift of eternal life, for salvation. We thank You, Lord God, that when it comes to brokenness, You know what it's all about because You hung on the cross, broken, battered, bruised for us. Your body went through agony, pain, and suffering, Father. And so You know what brokenness is all about. And our prayer, Father God, is that we would remember how You were broken for us. And that we should give up whatever it is that You want to take from us. Lord God, we love You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for all that You're doing in our lives. Continue to change us from the inside out. We give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory that is Yours and Yours alone. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen.